Today's daf in Masechet Yevamot, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Nun Aleph, and we are in the middle of a fascinating sukkah. So we went through our spreadsheet Mishnah yesterday that interrelated all of the implications of the four issues that are going to have an impact on the Yevama, on the relationship between a Yevama and a Yevama, and that, of course, besides the Diraisa of the Bia, which is the Yibun, and the Chalitza, the Rabbanan added the act of Kedushin, which we called Ma'amar, and also the act of something similar to Chalitza, which a normal get, which really, Midiraisa, has no impact on a relationship of Yibun. Nonetheless, the Rabbanan were gozer that a get would have impact. So we had a spreadsheet that interrelated the ways that Ma'amar, get, Chalitza, and Bia interrelate with Ma'amar, get, Chalitza, and Bia, cutting across four different things and down four different things. And then we filled in all of the boxes. Now, in the context of that discussion, we ended up finding that there was a very important machlokas, which we don't really know the basis of fully, the machlokas between Rabbi Gamliel and the Rabbanan about what exactly is the full power of the Maimer Takana and the Get Takana. Because according to Rabbi Gamliel, for some reason, which we haven't discussed at length, we're going to get to today, for some reason, there's only one Ma'amar in the relationship. So it doesn't matter how many brothers there are, doesn't matter how many Yevamot there are, you can do one Ma'amar, but not two. So if one of the brothers does a Ma'amar with one of the Yevamais, that's it. A subsequent Ma'amar will have absolutely no impact, will not therefore assert the relatives on the individual who did it, and it leaves open also the continued, you'd think. Now, that's a bit of a problem because we know that it isn't true, but you'd think that if ein Ma'amar achar Ma'amar, then it would make it perfectly correct for the first one who did Ma'amar, or the first Ma'amar that took place, to consummate that Ma'amar with Yibum. Now, for some reason, that wasn't one of the options that was mentioned here. And for some reason, even though Ein Ma'amar Achar Ma'amar, we went ahead and said that you still have got to give the get for your Ma'amar HaRishon plus Chalitza, but you can't go ahead and consummate the Ma'amar with Yibum. That's a problem that we'll have to see. So, yesterday, we went through the basis of these takanas, and we asked, like, why in the world would the Rabbanan create a situation in which Ma'amar complicates things? I understand that they would create Ma'amar to smooth the approach to Yibun, but why would they create a din that Ma'amar would impact the relationship between all of the Yabin and all of the Yevamot? I mean, that seems to be going beyond the bounds of what the purpose of Ma'amar was. And it turns out that it's a completely different issue. And as we explained yesterday, the only reason that we had to do that is because if we would have said that Ma'amar does not act as a real Kedushin, then people will easily get confused and they will think that, look, in the same way that Ma'amar does not prevent you from going ahead and taking the other one, so then Bia also wouldn't, you know, and then they'll go ahead and they'll be over on an Issur D'oraisa of being Bia one after they had already been Miyabim the other, because they don't know the difference between the Knisa of Ma'amar and the Knisa of Bia. So we made that Gezeira, even though it's a completely different kind of issue than the idea of just smoothing the way with the Ma'amar. And what about the idea of a get? That seems off the wall. Why would a get have impact on the relationship between the Yabin? And there too, we said yesterday that, look, we had no choice, because if get wouldn't have any impact, so then they would think that Chalitza doesn't have any impact, because Chalitza is a form of a get. When I say doesn't have any impact, I mean doesn't have any impact on the relationship with the other Yabin. Of course, they'll know that Chalitza is the way to allow a Yavama to marry whomever she wishes. Yes. but it doesn't impact on the question of whether I could take maybe another Yavama after doing Chalitza to one, or another brother could take another Yavama. So in order to avoid that misunderstanding, because if somebody would think, well, if after a get you could still go ahead and have relations with another one of the sisters, you could do so after Chalitza as well, and that would be an Issur D'oraisa, because of Kivan D'lo Bana Shuv Lo Yivneh. And therefore we made that takana. But we'd like to note today some of the more subtle takanas. And that was that we saw yesterday a very strange thing, that in the event that a bia comes after an act of ma'amar with another one of the yavamim, or by another yavam, then that bia is called a bia pisula. And as a bia pisula, it will not affect a proper yibum, and you will still need a get to get out of it, and you will still need chalitza to undo the yibum, and even the fact that something was done afterwards, let's say somebody after a bia psula went ahead and gave ma'amar or a get, that the fact that there was a bia before did not preclude a subsequent ma'amar or get. Now, that is a very strange kind of idea. Where did this come from? The idea of a bia psula. So that's what we'd like to understand today. Umay taima omer rabbanan bia psula yesh achareha klum. So this idea that, remember what the case of the bia psula is. The case of the bia psula is where you or one of the other brothers did with either this or with another of the yavamais, either a get or a ma'amar, and that was followed by you or one of the other brothers with the same or with another yavama, was followed by an attempt to do yibum with doing bia. And then you, another one of the brothers, with this woman or with another one of the yavamas, went ahead and gave a ma'amar after the bia had followed a get, or gave a get after the bia had followed a ma'amar, the saliba de Rebbe Gamliel, that last thing that you did, the third thing, would still be valid and would still be able to mess things up. So if you did the bia psula, subsequent ma'amar will aser anyway on you and will aser all of the krovim on the person who went ahead and gave it, or on you if you gave it. Whereas if it were after a real bia, it would just be a joke. A real bia, meaning a bia that did not have either a get or ma'amar before it. So explain that to me, because that seems to be a rather subtle thing. Okay, says the Gemara, let's examine that. There are two possible situations that can create a bia psula, correct? A bia after a get, again, after a get by you or one of the other brothers or to the same woman, to another, whatever. Or there could be a bia after a ma'amar. So let's take both cases, and I think you will see very clearly why it is that the Rabbanan were actually forced into making this gezeira because of what might happen. Here's the idea. Let's take case number one. The bia psula is a bia psula because it was a bia achar haget, okay? And therefore, let's say the same guy. I mean, it could be another one, but let's say the same guy gave one yavama. It could be the same one. But again, let's say the same guy, simple case, same guy gives one of the yavamas a get, and then he takes the other one and he says, look, I got rid of the first one with a get. Now let me do yibum with you. We say that is a bia psula. Why? I'll tell you why. Because we were worried. Gezera bia achar haget, Mishum bia achar chalitza. If you're going to tell me that I can take this other yavama after I gave one yavama a get, what would prevent people from saying that if there are two yavamas and you gave one yavama chalitza, so then, well, I know a case where you gave one yavama a get and the Rabbanan allowed you to do yibum with the other one. So undoubtedly, if you gave one chalitza, you could also do yibum with the other one. The problem is, if you would do that, you would be over on an Issur D'oraisa, which is, Kivan D'lo Bana, Shuv Lo Yivneh. And that was the reason that we created the idea of Gittin anyway, remember, because people will confuse the two different aspects of chalitza. Chalitza, this is so wonderful because it gives us an opportunity to note the various ways in which these various issues affect the various interrelationships between the various cases of multiple yavamas or multiple yavams and so on. So it's a great laboratory for us to go through what exactly is happening. So the idea, therefore, is that if there's two basic ways in which we dissolve relationships with women. One of them is gittin, and one of them is chalitza. There's two basic ways in which we create relationships with women. One of them is kiddushin, or ma'amar, as it's known in this particular type of kiddushin with the yavama, and the other is bia. And therefore, it's the confusion between them that led us to have to make the gezeirah that a get acts as if it's a chalitza, and a ma'amar acts as if it's a yibum, because otherwise people won't know the difference. But if that's the case, then it also follows that if we are going to allow a situation where one takes a get and the other one goes ahead and sleeps and gets, he sleeps with the other one, and he then would be allowed to do that, so then people will obviously think the same thing would be true if he gave chalitza to one, that now he can do bia with the other. So the get issue is always going to be a problem of possible coming to be over on the iser of kivan shelo bana shuv lo yivneh. The mamar issue is always a problem of bayit echad hu boneh ve'eino boneh shnei batim. If we allow you to go ahead and to take a second woman, so that in this case, it would be bia acher ma'amar. That's the only other case of a bia psula. The first one we understand why we need to be geyser. Bia acher get. But bia acher ma'amar is also very confusing. Because if bia acher ma'amar is considered to be a completely normal bia, and then you continue, you will keep this one, and it'll be as if you actually had a full relationship, and anything done afterwards is meaningless, so then people will consider bia acher bia to be the same as bia acher ma'amar, because they do not make that distinction between the two ways of taking a woman, one through kiddushin and one through bia. And therefore they'll say, well, look, I mean, a guy went ahead, we know about, a guy went ahead, and he gave ma'amar to one of his yavamas, and then he went ahead and he took the other yavama, and that was great, you know. So then what would be wrong with taking one of the yavamas even after you took the other one, not with ma'amar, but with actual yibum? And if you did that, then you will be over on bayit echad hu boneh. Now, Rashi, for some reason, and it's important to note this, Rashi, for some reason, says that in that case, you would even possibly come to an Isser Eshet Ach, which, of course, is not true. It was true when we entertained the approach of Reish Lakish, remember? Reish Lakish was the one who said that in the case where one brother does Bia, then all the other brothers revert to a situation of Eshet Ach, and the women revert to everyone as the Isra of Eshet Ach. Fine. So then if that's the case, Rashi would be right. But we already showed before that the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan, who says the bia by any brother to any of the women removes the zika from all of the brothers and all of the women. And yet, for some reason, Rashi over here wants us to know that there's even the possibility of being over not only on bayit echad hu boneh ve'eino boneh shnei batim, but that he's going to be over on the attempt in taking a second Eshet Ach, and the second Eshet Ach might even be usher as an Eshet Ach, according to Reish Lakish. So there's that additional problem in making this gezeirah. There's two possible awful results that would happen. One of them, according to Reish Lakish, could be an Isser Kares, and the other, according to everybody, would be an Isser Lav. So now I understand why I must create a concept of a weakened Bia. It isn't that it's really weakened in any way. It isn't really that it makes any change in the d'oraisa of the interrelationship between the Yavam and the Yavama. Really, the Torah couldn't care less whether you took B'Yibum, a woman, after giving a get, which is totally meaningless, or after giving Kiddushin, which is totally meaningless, again, from the perspective of the Torah. And what you did, therefore, was a completely normal Yibum. I couldn't really care whether you did that wearing a white suit or a gray suit or a black suit. It's exactly the same. You gave a get before a mine before. It's just changing your suit. But since the Rabbanan had created this extended idea of Knisa or Hotzah, namely, Maimer as Knisa or Get as Hotzah, we had no choice but to follow through and to make a problem with the Bia in order to avoid the issue. That's the point. Okay, so then if that is true, then we've got a Gzeira Bia Acher Ma'amar, because people may come to do Bia Acher Bia. But how come we did not make an equivalent takana about a loose chalitza? Now, you will remember, and this is a very important point that we're raising here, because you will remember way back when we were talking about the possibility of there being a weakened chalitza. We called that a chalitza that was psula, or a chalitza that was gerua, and we even had Rav Shita before, that there is not only such a concept as a chalitza psula, but that it doesn't work if there are multiple brothers. Then in a case where their chalitza is not a full-scale chalitza and has been weakened, which we'll talk about in a moment, if it's been weakened the way that a bia had been weakened by a prior ma'amar or get, then it would require a separate chalitza from every single brother. Remember that shita of Rav? And remember the shita, which was true even according to those who argued on Rav, and say you don't have to go to every single brother. But still, if you had multiple brothers and one of them was going to be giving a chalitza psula and the other one was going to be giving a full chalitza, then everyone agreed over there, it sounded like, that a chalitza psula would not be good enough to remove the full-scale Zika of the one who didn't damage his Zika by giving a get or something like that. Now, that leads us, of course, these racial memories of those issues from back at the beginning, those lead us to the question of, so why the heck does our Mishnah completely ignore a concept of a weakened chalitza? And it kept saying, remember, it even jumped ahead to be able to leave the empty boxes in our spreadsheet. It jumped ahead to chalitza because it wanted to get done with that. Or it, Bedavka put in the bias so that we could be done with the issues to get to the empty spreadsheet box. Because ein achar chalitza klum, ever. Why? Why don't we make a gezera for a chalitza, a weakened chalitza? Therefore, I ask the Gemara, my time, Amar Rabbanan, hi chalitza psula, it still doesn't make any impact if you do something afterwards. So let's say you do chalitza with the Yavama where there had been a get, either by you or one of the brothers or whatever, right? Or you do chalitza with the Yavama after Ma'amar. And then you go ahead and give Ma'amar, in the case of a get, Ali B'Rab Gamliel, or give a get, in the case of Ma'amar, Ali B'Rab Gamliel, to yet another Yavama. The Mishnah says you will not be usher in the relatives of that third Yavama. Why? Having done chalitza, there's nothing left to the Zika that you could possibly need to worry about. Why? Why don't we treat it the same way we treat the Bia Psula? Says the Gemara, what do you mean, why don't we? How about you telling me, why should we? Why don't we start with that? Because that makes a lot more sense to me. So tell me what the gezeira would be, please. Okay. So let's say, Amri, my leagues are, tell me what the gezeira would be. You're saying that. Oh, makes so much sense to be gezeira. All right. What's the gezeira? Shall we say that chalitza after a get shouldn't really work to prevent anything afterwards? Because people will think that then you could do chalitza after chalitza. Okay. You know? As far as I'm concerned, you can do 5 chalitzas before breakfast every morning if you want, and it really wouldn't bother me in the least. So if you get your kicks with doing chalitzas, go right ahead. It's another one of these fetishes, you know. So go ahead, do chalitza. Okay, so what would be the problem? So we're going to make a gezeira? Because, wow, you know, if chalitza, if we're going to tell me that it works completely and nothing afterwards is a problem, so then if that's the case, I mean, wouldn't we be able to do the same thing if somebody did chalitza and we allow chalitza after a get, so then let's allow chalitza after chalitza. Okay, go ahead, allow chalitza after chalitza. Thank you very much. Let her do chalitza as many times as she wants a day. If you're going to tell me, okay, but we should be gezer chalitza that comes after ma'amar, because you might go ahead and do chalitza after bia. Remember, we confuse ma'amar and bia. Please, what's going to happen? Because what's going to happen is that then, if we allow chalitza after ma'amar, so then if you do chalitza after bia, so then you might think that you can actually give chalitza instead of a get after you took your yavama. And that is not true. After you took a yavama, if you try to give her chalitza, you can't use chalitza to be mavata, the normal marriage that is subsequent to a yibum, right? So because, as we said before, once you do yibum, what's the din? Ishto kol kol davar. How would you have to be dissolving that relationship with a get? So maybe we should make a takana, and we should say, look, you can't do chalitza after ma'amar, because people may come to think that even when the yibum was done properly, you could do chalitza and you could cancel the relationship, which would be a disaster, because then if she goes to marry somebody else, she's an ashes ish. Where was the get? So isn't that a good gezeira? No. You know why? Because nobody could be so stupid. Remember that otu chalitza achar ma'amar. Let's say the idea over here, in a case where you did the chalitza after the thing that made it garua and psula was the fact that you had done ma'amar to the other one. Can you walk away from the other one by doing chalitza? No. The halacha was you need to give a get. So how's anybody going to think that chalitza is going to take the place of the get? I mean, they see right here, in this case, you still need a get for the ma'amar, right? And how about in the case where the chalitza was done after bia? So everybody is going to know that she needs a get to dissolve the relationship that was created with the bia. That was the din. So there's no way to ever make the mistake of thinking that in a normal case of yibum, you can get away with chalitza to dissolve a relationship that was created either through ma'amar or bia. So there's no basis for this whatsoever. So now let us tackle what the svara is on the sides of Rabbi Gamliel and the Rabbanan, who obviously have a different concept of how the get works in the case of yibum, because the Rabbanan say, even if you give 2 gittin to 2 separate yavamas, both of those gittin are meaningful, and you will be usher in the relatives of both of those women. Versus Rabbi Gamliel says, no, you could only give a get once, even if it's to a different yavama. The get is meaningless again. So obviously, Rabbi Gamliel and the Chachomim have a different view of how it is that that get actually works in the relationship. The same thing is true of the ma'amar. If Rabbi Gamliel says you can only do ma'amar with one of the yavamas, and if you try doing ma'amar with 2 of them, the second ma'amar will have no impact on your relationships, and therefore you will be allowed to marry her sister and her mother, and so on and so forth. Whereas Rabbanan said, no, what do you mean? Each one of those ma'amars is a specific relationship. What's the machlokas about exactly? So let's first take a look at Rabbi Gamliel. What would be the reason to say that ein get achar get, the ein ma'amar achar ma'amar? Now, look, I mean, obviously, the simple solution would be to say that get achieves a complete and total disillusionment of the zika, or Mamar creates a complete Kenyan. You could say that, but upon reflection, you will realize that that is ridiculous. Why? Because since the stress, this is how Tosis explains it, that since the stress in the Mishnah is ein get achar get ve'ein ma'amar achar ma'amar, it seems that Rabbi Gamaliel is going out of his way to let you understand that there could be a get to one Yavama after ma'amar to another Yavama, or there could be ma'amar to one Yavama after a get to another Yavama, right? So if the idea was that a get actually works and dissolves the Zika, that wouldn't be true. And if Mamar actually works and creates a Kenyan, that wouldn't be true. And therefore, it leaves us scratching our heads. Okay, so then why indeed is there a difference? Why can you do a get after Mamar, but not a Mamar after a Mamar? Why can you do a Mamar after a get, but not a get after a get? That's why we've got a problem. So Rava attempts to answer this problem. And he says, well, I'll tell you why. The point is like this. Actually, Rabbi Gamliel was not sure. That's the only way I see to explain this. So he is making a memunafshach kind of halacha. And he's saying like this. I'm not sure whether a get actually is fully effective. Or maybe it isn't effective. All it does is it creates an iser on krovim, because it looks like it's effective. So I'll tell you, basically, I don't know whether a get really in some way is docha the yibum, or whether it really doesn't have any impact on the dechi of the yibum. And I'm not sure, ma'amar, whether it is gona or it's not gona. So therefore, here's the result of that suffix, says Rava. I'm not sure if the get fully works or doesn't work at all. So, okay, here's the thing. If the first get worked and it destroyed the Zika, so then the second get is meaningless, okay? And if the first get doesn't work and doesn't have any effect on the Zika, neither does the second get. So no matter how you look at it, the second one is not meaningful. That's all. Same thing is true about Mamar. I don't know, says Rav Gamliel, whether Mamar actually works or doesn't work at all. So therefore I say, if Mamar does work, then the first Mamar that you made is basically the full Kenyan and the Mamar Kaneh, so the Kama Kaneh, so what's the point of the second Mamar? It doesn't have any impact, because the same way the second Yibub doesn't have any impact, neither does the second Mamar have an impact. On the other hand, if Mamar doesn't really do anything in terms of Kenyanim, so then the second one obviously didn't do anything either. So, you can't have a second one. That's how it works. Says Abaya, that's ridiculous. Of course, that's not how it works. Rabbi Gamliel isn't talking about a memunafshach problem, and I'll prove it to you. Look at this braita, and you'll see that that can't be the point. It says in the braita, Umoda Rabbi Gamliel, sheyesh get achar ma'amar, u'ma'amar achar get. Now, as we've already been medayik from the Mishnah, Tosus says the Gemara took this into consideration up front, that it's pretty clear from the language of Rav Gamliel, and here it's spelled out in the Braisa. Even though ein get achar get ve'ein ma'amar achar ma'amar, there is a get achar ma'amar, and there is a ma'amar after a get. So, Rav Gamliel is made that yesh get achar ma'amar, and yesh ma'amar achar haget. And what's more, the get achar bia v'ma'amar, there would also be a get in the event that, now it's a little misleading because bia u'ma'amar does not mean in that order, obviously, because if bia is first, there's nothing. We already saw that. So when it says get achar bia u'ma'amar, it means get achar bia psula, because there was a ma'amar before. So then you can go ahead and give a get, because we already said in the Mishnah, bia psula does not mean that you can't go ahead and do something else that will create problems. So if after bia psula, you went and gave a get to another one of the Yavamais, you will be usher in her relatives. Even though there was already a ma'amar followed by a bia in a different, obviously in a different Yavama. I mean, if it was a Mamar followed by a Bia, then that's the best possible thing if it's the same Yavama. But over here, you gave Mamar to Yavama A, you then went ahead and you did Yibum with Yavama B, and then you went ahead and did Mamar with Yavama C. Oh man, this guy really knows how to make problems for himself, but that would still work because the Bia was a Bia Psula. And furthermore, says Reb Gamliel, that you can get a situation where you have a Mamar that would follow a Bia that followed a Get, which is the other alternative. There could be a Bia Psula because Get came before. In this case, you gave a Get to Yavama a Bia to Yavama B, and Mamar to Yavama C. Okay, so in all of those cases, you will be usher in all of the relatives of all three women. And that Rabbi Gamliel is made it to. Now, I will use that to prove to you that Rabbi Gamliel does not build his halacha on sveikas. That's absurd. Because if you're right, if you're right that Rabbi Gamliel doesn't know what the din is about the get and the mamar, then let me tell you what this boils down to, my dear friend Rava. It boils down to the fact that for all intents and purposes, we might as well ignore what happened first. Why? Well, let me explain to you. Every one of these cases, the Bia in the middle, the Bia Emtza'in, is going to be the equivalent of a Bia that starts the whole thing going. And remember that the Mishnah said, if you start with a Bia, then there's nothing that can do afterwards that will asur the Krovim on you. Because here's the point. Anything that you say about the first Yavama you gave a get to, or the first Yavama you did Maimer to, and then the second Yavama was the one that got the actual Bia, and then the third Yavama was the one that got the Mimer in the case of the Get, or the Get in the case of the Mimer. It's all ridiculous. Because, again, your argument completely destroys this case. If you're going to say, let's say, that if you did the Mimer, for instance, the same thing as you're the Get. If you did the Mimer at the first Yavama, so then you say, maybe that Mamar was completely valid, right? So if it was completely valid, what would be the din of the Bia afterwards? Nothing. Nothing. And obviously, the get at the end would not have any meaning at all. If you're going to try to tell me that the Mimer was useless, okay, then what was the first thing that was useful? Bia. But then it's not a Bia Psula. So why will the third thing be a problem? Anything that comes after a Bia is meaningless. If the Bia was actually not Psula. So the Mimon of Shach destroys the case, Rava. Same thing is true about the Get. You went ahead and you gave a Get. Now you're saying maybe the Get worked. And maybe the Get actually takes care of the Zika. Okay, maybe it does. But if it does, then the second thing, which was the Bia, was useless. And the third thing for sure was useless. If it doesn't, then the second thing was the only thing that was useful. The second thing is what, my dear friend? Bia. And it's not a Bia Psula, correct? Because the Mamon of Shach means it's not a Bia Psula. So I don't care how you look at it. The third thing to occur with the third Yavama, either Get or Mimer, is completely useless and meaningless. Thank you very much. And yet the Braisa says that according to Rabbi Gamliel, it is a problem. And it will answer the Krovim. So there goes your explanation. Pow. Now you want a real explanation, a simple explanation that has nothing to do with all of this. Why would we create a suffix for Rabbi Gamliel? The point is, says Abaya, that Leolam Pshita Leila Rabbi Gamliel, that both of these things work, but they don't work completely. I mean, isn't that the whole point? Why are you making it an either or? You've created a binary situation. And because it's a binary situation, the only way you could handle it was as a suffix. So that, because otherwise it's an either or, right? Okay, so you say, I don't know. So I'll be machmir. There is no binary situation. There's a diraisa and there's a dirabbana. And when the rabbanan created get does something and mimer does something in opposite directions. So Get does a bit of weakening of the Zika, so to speak. That's how we look at it in terms of the D'oraisa. Remember that we've got to smooth the effect of the D'rabbanan on the D'oraisa and vice versa. So what was the takana that we made about a get? That a get removes, to some extent, the Zika the way that chalitza removes all of the Zika. The get works a little bit like that. The mimer does the opposite. The mimer achieves a strengthening of the Zika the way that the yibum would have affected a complete closure of the relationship, right? Okay, so a get definitely is doicha somewhat. A mimer is definitely kena somewhat, but only derabbanan in the context of a world of d'oraisas. So therefore, it's certainly not the real thing. It's like a virtual knisa mimer, and the get is a virtual chalitza. Okay, so now, therefore, the way that this works is simply like this. The Rabbanan said, a yevama, in one sense, a get will help in that it will weaken the Zika. And in another sense, a yevama mama can help because it's in the opposite direction. So it actually strengthens the Zika. Now, there's no contradiction between those two things. So I can have a get that's followed by mimer. The get hurt the Zika. The mimer was an attempt to repair that. A mimer strengthened the Zika, but then I gave a get and I hurt the Zika. What's wrong with that? So yesh get acher mimer, and yesh mimer acher get. Absolutely. But there's no meaning to a get after a get. Why? Because whatever it could do, you did. The Rabbanan said, a get is chalitza. Can you do two chalitzas? No. Well, if it's like chalitza, why doesn't it work? Because it's a virtual chalitza, Rava, that's why. Because it has to live within a d'oraisa planet, and it's acting as if it's a chalitza. So in the same way that you don't have two chalitzas, you can't have two gets. And the same way that mimer works to make a virtual yibum, well, you can't have two yibums, Rava, so you can't have two mimers. I don't understand what could be simpler. Therefore, it's a beautiful, simple, straightforward theory of Rabbi Gamliel, and we don't need to get into any kind of sfeikas. So therefore, a yevama on one hand, mahani baget. On the other hand, mahani ba mama. But a get with another get doesn't do anything more than the first get did. And a mimer after another mimer, because dochalei kama, the first get did whatever damage it could do to the Zika. The same thing is true about a mimer after another mimer. The first mimer did whatever it could do, midrabbanan. What would be the point of a virtual second mimer? It's destructive to think in those terms even, because it undoes the whole point of viewing mimer as a virtual bia. So what Rav Gamliel is saying makes a heck of a lot of sense. Make a takana that midrabbanan, something acts as if it's the d'oraisa, with ensuring that people won't come to make the mistakes of actually relying on it, which is why we made the gezeiros that we made before, that we spoke about yesterday. And that would be the reason that we can't treat it as nothing, because then people will make mistakes. Excellent. So therefore, you cannot give a mimer acher mimer, because you already did whatever you can do, for heaven's sakes, with the mimer. How many times can you be kena in the same relationship? Masha ain kain, to give a get after mimer, and to give mimer after a get, well, why not? Each one is working virtually in opposite directions. That's fine. So, hai miltaka dachi, vahai miltaka kani. One of them is a virtual destruction of the Zika, and the other one is a virtual closure of the Zika. So one doesn't get in the way of the other at all. Now, what about the Rabbanan? That is so reasonable. Now we need to turn our attention to the Rabbanan. Why don't the Rabbanan hold that? So I'll explain to the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan holds that actually the din of get and ma'amar do not work directly on the Zika. They work in terms of the individual Yavam and Yavama's relationship. A completely different way of looking at it. According to Rebbe Gamliel, the Mimer is taking the place of Yibam, and the Get is taking the place of Chalitza. Since it's only Drabbanan, it has limited impact. But according to the Rabbanan, a Maimer works as a gezerah of a normal kedushin, not as a relationship to Yibum at all. And therefore, kedushin works between a particular male and a particular female. It doesn't work for a bias. You can't give one kedushin for five women in a bias. It's ridiculous. And you can't give one get for five women. And you can't have one man giving a get that's going to impact other men in the family. What? How does that work? Therefore, Taina d'Rabbanan, the concept of a get and of ma'amar is a specific relationship between a particular yavam and a particular yavama. And it cannot affect everybody else. And therefore, if one yavam gives ma'amar to one woman, and then another yavam gives ma'amar to that woman, uh-oh. If one yavam gives a get to one of the yavamas, and another yavam gives another get to another one of the yavamas, that's not going to be meaningful. Why not? A get's always meaningful between male A and female B. So what's the problem? Why would there not be one after the other? So this is a brilliant analysis, but you can see how fundamental this machlokas between Rabbi Gamliel and the Chachamim is to the entire understanding that we have of the takona of ma'amar and the takona of get and how they interrelate. So this is a tremendously conceptually basic primal daf, coming to understand these two completely different ways of viewing the issue. So therefore, the Rabbanan say, kol chad v'chad, for each and every single yavam, the Rabbanan were metaking a particular ability to give a get and or ma'amar with each and every separate yavama, which is beautiful. And that explains everything. Now, obviously, it's not meant to be taken totally literally, because everybody does agree halacha l'maaseh that if you do give a get by one yavam to one yavama, that messes up the other brother's ability to do yibum. That's still true. All that Abaye is saying is that in terms of its impact on the relationships between, to dissolve a relationship, it is a unique relationship between one yavam and one yavama. It has implications because of its similarity to chalitza, so because it has those implications. But those implications are an impact. They are not the mechanism. That's the point. So this is a very subtle way that Abaye is approaching it. There's two different issues. There's the implications, which are the gezeira and the possible confusions. And then there's the mechanisms. The mechanisms, according to the Rabbanan, are limited by the standard mechanism of kedushin and gittin. And standard mechanisms of kedushin and gittin are defined as relationship between a particular male and a particular female. You can't get out of that. That is the simple understanding of the way that Abaye sees the difference between Rabbi Gamliel and the Rabbanan. And it's beautiful and straightforward. Now, there's an additional complication to this understanding, which the Gemara is about to introduce. So, the point first is that according to the way Abaye understands this idea, that there is, in fact, a get that would be given after a bia psula, and there is ma'amar after a bia psula that came after a get, right? So how exactly does that work? Because there we do not find that it's the same as the ma'amar, because, I mean, we never found that there's a concept of a ma'amar that's possible, and that there's only a bia that's possible. And if, according to Rabbi Gamliel, these are virtual interrelated things and they're not mechanisms, so then, according to him, shouldn't it be the same? That if there's a bia psula, then there should be a maimer puzzle? And if there's a maimer puzzle, then it should not allow for blocking the ma'amar, achar ma'amar? I mean, like, how does that work exactly? So let me explain that additional subtle detail to you, says Abaye. Because, look, a bia psula, meaning a bia that comes after a get, or a bia that comes after a ma'amar, in one way, it is better than a ma'amar, but in one way, it's less powerful than ma'amar. It's better than a ma'amar because to give one ma'amar after another ma'amar, according to Rabbi Gamaliel, does not mean a darn thing. You already used up the power of the ma'amar. Masha Einkin, a bia after a ma'amar is definitely still going to be powerful. And that would be because it also, obviously, he's got to work out the fact that the bia is real in terms of the Torah. So the bia after a ma'amar, yes, if I gave a second ma'amar, do I become usher on the relatives of that second woman? No. Do I need a get from that second woman? No. But suppose I give bia to a second woman after ma'amar? Well, obviously I can't say, let's ignore the bia. The bia is the only thing that I can't ignore, midiraisa. So in that sense, even though I'm calling it a bia psula, it's still better than another ma'amar, isn't it? Because I do need a get, and I do need a chalitza. So, okay, I have no choice. So you would say, I mean, that looks strange, doesn't it? Well, what can you do? That is the result of the simple understanding of the halachic interrelationships, says Abaye. So that there's three things that we need to take into consideration, says Abaye. There is the mechanism. There is the impact of that mechanism in terms of possible confusion in people's minds. And then there's a third issue, and that is the algorithms. You still have to follow the algorithms. So it's all very nice when you start thinking about things and you realize that there may be a Lorentz equation. And it's only when you work out the algorithm that you suddenly understand that means I can make an atom bomb, which has nothing to do with what I was thinking about, which was the speed of light and how it affects it. What in the world does that have to do with making atom bombs? Absolutely nothing, you'd think. But when you follow the algorithm, you're left with E equals MC squared. What the heck could that mean? That's insane. It is? Okay, fine. So the same thing happens over here. You're right. The virtual suddenly got out of control, but that reason that it got out of control was because of the algorithm. And the algorithm is the interrelationship of the Diorais and the Rabbanon. So what do you expect, okay? So therefore, you're right that in one sense, it's better, and in one sense, it's worse. What can I do? You're looking for consistency. Consistency ultimately has to be consistency, algorithmic consistency, okay? So then for this part, let me talk out to you about it, because this is the third issue. This is such a wonderful daf, because it gives us the full range of the interrelationship of elements that are taken into consideration in terms of the takana. So therefore, the result becomes that a bia psula on one hand is better than maimer, and surprisingly, and you say inconsistently, what can you do? It's less than mimer. It's better than mimer in the sense that a mimer after another mimer is not going to work, whereas a bia will. Well, what can I do? Of course it is. But it's less than mamar because mamar after a get will be fully effective. Because there's no such thing as a ma'amar psula. Why would there be? What would be the point of it? The algorithm doesn't allow for it. And therefore, it would be kind of the way the mimer works. Anything that the get didn't affect was completely addressed by the ma'amar. Because they're on the same level of the drabonon virtuality. Masha Einkein, if you have bia achara get, then obviously the bia achara get was not kaina kula shiura the get. Why? Only because we had to make the gezeira, like we spoke about. Okay, so fine. We were mechuyev to make the gezeira. That's our algorithm. You're telling me, but it's inconsistent. No. What am I supposed to do? If you follow the rules, this is what you come out with. Perfectly understandable, Rabbi Gamliel, and a perfectly understandable Rabbanah. That's what I say, says Abaye. Now, the problem is, if we take a look at the Braita, Tana Rabbanah, Kate said, Omar, Rabbi Gamliel, ain't get achar get. Well, let's explain. You have two yavamas. These two yavamas fell in front of one yavam. He gives a get to one, and then he goes in and he gives a get to the other. So Rabbi Gamliel says, look, I'll tell you what to do in this case. The second get was meaningless, and therefore, you still need to do chalitza, obviously, because a get doesn't really take the place of chalitza. Then don't be an idiot and give chalitza to the second one. Because if you do that, then you're going to be usher to both families. And the second one, meanwhile, you say, well, I gave her a get anyway, so I might as well get. No! The get that you gave her was ridiculous. It was a piece of garbage paper. So if you're going to do chalitza to the one that anyway is asur on you, because that first get made all of her relatives asura on you, minarabanan. Well, now give the chalitza, okay? And then they will be asur as if they were achas ishta. Perfect. And then the other one's family won't be a problem at all to you, because the get wasn't the get, and you didn't do chalitza. You'd be pretty stupid to give get to one and then a chalitza. It would work. Why not? Chalitza always works with any of the Yavamas. It would work, but it would be dumb. So therefore, I say, give the first one the chalitza, and then you're usher on the krovot of the first one, but then you're mutter on the krovot of the second one. Whereas the Chachamim say, what difference does it make? You already gave a get to the second one, and yesh get acher get, and since yesh get acher get, you're already usher on both of the krovot, so give chalitza to whomever you wish, right? So therefore, chalitza lachat mehem. Choose whichever one you want, whichever is convenient. I don't care. And this would be true not only in the case of a single yavam. This is true if you got two yavamim, and you have one yavama, and each one gave her a get. So Rabbi Gamliel says, the second one who gave a get was not a get. And therefore, since only one of these getin is kosher, then the first one who gave the get should be the one who does the chalitza, because that way the second one will be allowed to marry the relatives. Exactly the same thing. And the Rabbanim would say, no, both getin are getin, and therefore anyway, there's an isra on both of them. And so what difference does it make who you do the chalitza with? Exactly the same thing. Now, Ketzar Omer and Gamliel, Ein Ma'amar, Achar Ma'amar. Well, same situation. There were two Yavamas. They fall to one Yavam. That's our first case. Obviously, we'll expand it in the same way. He gives both of his Yavamas Ma'amar, says Rabbi Gamliel, look, the second one has no relationship. He therefore only needs to give a get to the first one. And if he's giving a get to the first one, don't you think he should be intelligent enough to give the first one chalitza? Because if he gives the second one chalitza, he's going to be usher on one because they're related to the get, and he's going to be usher on the other one because they're related to a chalitza. What a stupid thing to do. And therefore, in the end, he's going to be usher only on the krovot of the first one, and then he'll be able to marry the relatives of the second one whenever he wants. Like this, he's ushering another, who knows, 1,000 women in the world. I don't know how many sisters, daughters, granddaughters, mothers-in-laws. I don't know, so I don't want to get into it. So, of course, be intelligent. Whereas the Chachamim say, look, you give a get to both of them because you gave mamar to both of them. And therefore, anyway, you're usher on both of their families, and therefore, do chalitza with whoever you feel like, because you're not going to be doing any more problems than you've already got. And here, too, it's exactly the same. We're talking about one guy, or you're talking about two separate yavams who do this. It's still going to be exactly the same thing. But here's my problem. You said that if there were two yavamas, and he gives a get to A and a get to B, according to Rebbe Gamliel, he should be chaylech l'rishona va'aser b'krovotea, and he'll be then forever mutter in the second one's krovot. Now, this is a serious problem. Why? Not to us, and not to Rebbe Gamliel, but it's a serious problem of Shmuel. Because remember one of the very serious cases that we had, in which there is a stronger Zika and a weaker Zika. So in that case, Shmuel is basically allowing over here a weaker chalitza to be pattering all of the Yavamas, even those who have a better Zika. And that was a serious problem. Because remember that according to Shmuel, where remember we had a case, there were two Yavamas, and one of them have got a get from the Yavam. So what we say over there is, according to Shmuel, if you went ahead and you gave chalitza to the one who had already gotten the get, then that chalitza is a crummy chalitza. Oh, so there is a chalitza psula. Aha. Uh-huh. And that chalitza psula cannot take off the Zika from the other woman who didn't have anything to weaken her Zika. So a chalitza given to a woman who already had a get in the family is weaker than a chalitza that would be given to a woman who had a full Zika in the family. And therefore, according to Shmuel, you can't give chalitza to the balas haget and get away with that and not need to do another chalitza for the other one anyway. So how could Rabbi Gamliel say, well, don't be dumb, just do the chalitza to the balas haget? What? According to Shmuel, it won't help to do chalitza to the balas haget. Oh my God. So what, you're telling me that Shmuel overlooked this entire Mishnah and all of these prices, the whole discussion, and he had no idea what was going on? This is like the most fatal blow to Shmuel imaginable, right? It's exactly his case. And Rabbi Gamliel is blithely speaking, well, you got to be dumb to give chalitza to the other one. Shmuel, are you dumb? You said you can only give chalitza to the other one. Uh-oh. So what's happening? Cholatz v'ba'alat haget. Lo niftera tzara, according to Shmuel. Oh, said Shmuel. No problem at all. I was speaking according to the man, the Amar, who holds yesh zika. Now, if you hold yesh zika, what happens then? If you hold yesh zika, then you're always wondering about how effective was what I did to impact the zika relationship that the Torah created, which is a type of ishus. That's the meaning of yesh zika. Everybody agrees yesh zika, the sense of the chiev to take her, and the fact that if I don't give her a get, I mean, if I don't give her chalitza, she's going to be asura to the world because of me. That's a given. But remember, we had this idea of yesh zika that is more than just the chiev. It's a type of relationship. So that's what I was talking about. If you hold yesh zika, then you introduce another problem. How effective is the act that you are doing to undo the given relationship in the Torah? And there, as where I said, if you have one relationship that has already been weakened by a get, then a chalitza has to be measured by what effect it's having on the zika. In this case, the zika to Yevama B, who got the get, is less powerful than the zika to Yevama A, who did not get a get. If you then apply a chalitza to Yevama A, who got a get, the impact of that chalitza is only to undo a frayed zika. How can undoing a frayed zika impact a full zika that hasn't been touched and hasn't been affected of Yevama B? That's all I'm saying. And what does that have to do with the discussion over here? Rabbi Gamliel is the one who holds that ain zika. Remember how we know that? This was the famous shita that we had. This is wonderful because it gives us a review of all the things that we've been discussing. Rabbi Gamliel was the one who said, remember we had a case where a man is married to a child, Midrabbanan, whose sister, who is an adult, had married his brother, and then his brother died, and then the adult falls to him, and now he's got big problems, right? What do we do with his marriage? Because now she is a chotz kukato, and everybody says, well, persuade her to go and do miyun, and that way you'll be able to marry the other one, whatever. Says, Rabbi, what's the problem? You guys are creating a concept called achotze kukato, in which case he's not allowed to have his wife. Bull! There's no such thing as achotze kukato, because ain zika! And therefore, let him stick with his child wife, and then when she grows up, she'll be his full wife, and then she'll be an erva to the other sister, and then the other sister can walk out of it. So what's the problem? So obviously he doesn't hold of zika, right? Okay, so this is Rabbi Gamliel, doesn't hold of zika. I was talking to you according to those who do hold of zika. So what's the issue, Bichlal? Fine. Now, the problem is, with the next piece, besides the obvious problem of it's being 8:55, however, there is that other algorithmic problem, which is we have to finish the Tav. Or at least we have to pretend to finish the Tav. By at least getting a little bit of adonament base, so please give me a little bit of room. Come on, this was so exciting. It was worth it, right? I mean, we needed that little bit of exercise. So now this bit is really a lot of fun. And it adds a lot of insight and subtlety to the issues that we were talking about. So now look. Says the Gemara, look, doesn't that mean if the Rabbanan, if Rabbi Gamliel holds Ein Zika, then the Rabbanan who argue with Rabbi Gamliel about Yesh Maimer Acher Maimer, Yesh Get Acher Get, they must hold that Yesh Zika. Now that is a very weird statement. What in the world does the question of Yesh Zika have to do with the price of eggs in Yibumville? It should make no difference whatsoever, Benogea, our question of Yesh Get Acher Get. The two sugars are not created, are not interrelated. And the way we've been explaining it, they truly are not interrelated. And therefore, Rashi says, well, we're looking for problems now. In other words, okay, I mean, like assuming that they're taking the opposite view of life, you know. And then in the end, we'll say they're not taking the opposite, but we just want to make sure that we work through all the problems. So we're going to therefore question how the Rabbanan Shita works over here if they hold Yesh Zika. The Rabban, however, has a brilliant explanation of the Gemara. And it's a very straightforward and simple explanation. And the Rabban says like this, that the Machlokas at this point, at least we thought, that the Machlokas between the Rabbanan and Rabbi Gamliel was actually predicated on Yesh Zika. Because since Rabbi Gamliel holds Ein Zika, how exactly is the Ma'amar supposed to work? And how does the get work if there's no Zika? What is the focus of that get? What it is impacting? What is the focus of the Ma'amar that's going to be impacting more than a relationship between him and her? Because obviously it's affecting the entire family. If there's no Zika, how do you have an effect on a family? Isn't the point of the familial interrelationship the Zika problem, and that the Zika interrelates all of them? So therefore, we're forced to say, says the Ramban, that according to Rabbi Gamliel, there is a new insight here, and that is that the Get and the Ma'amar are focused on the existing condition of his older brother. Because if Zika is not a real relationship, then what is it? It is merely an extension of the limitations of the original marriage. And therefore, it can only act as a group impact. So how can you have two Ma'amars, for God's sake, on the same condition? How can you have two gets on the same condition? That's why Rabbi Gamliel said that it is merely a construct that works on the extension or the weakening of the original Kedushin. Masha Enkein, if there are Bunan, they hold Yesh Zika, then Zika, remember, creates a unique relationship between each one of the brothers and each one of the Avamis until it's dissolved. Therefore, according to the Rabbanan, we thought that the reason that they said that there's a unique Ma'amar and a unique get for each one is because they hold of Yesh Zika. And the reason that Rabbi Gamliel holds that it cannot be unique is because he holds Ein Zika, and that therefore it's only because it's acting on the original Kedushin. Brilliant? Absolutely. And, as Doc would have it, absolutal. And so, if that's the case, then the Rabbanan must be Savra Yesh Zika. And the Brisa says, at the end of the Brisa, this is again a reference to the Gemara that we had before. Remember about Rav? We talked about Shmuel. Remember about Rav, who said if you have a poor chalitza, then all of the Yevamim have to redo the chalitza because one particular chalitza is no good. That's what Rav said. But look what it says over here. V'chein ata omer b'shnei Yevamim v'yevama achat. Meaning that if each Yavam gives a Yavama a get, one of them does chalitza, and they don't say which one does chalitza. So in other words, anybody can give a chalitza, even though we say Yesh Zika. And the Zika needs to be broken by a chalitza that will have the maximal power for that chalitza, right? But if anybody can go ahead and give that chalitza, it means that even the one who gave the get can go ahead and do that chalitza. And that means it's a weak chalitza because the Zika was already weakened and they hold the Zika, you say. In which case, The Rabbanan are saying that a weak chalitza does not require going through every individual brother. Now, that idea of going through every individual brother follows naturally from the Rabbanan's assumption that the interrelationship of Mamar and Get is a unique interrelationship with every brother. So now that you're telling me Yesika, then that would mean that a weak brother's ability to do chalitza is just the same as a strong brother's ability to do chalitza. And when a chalitza is weak, it does not need to be removed from every single brother to that yavama. Now, how do you explain that? Since Rav was the one who says, this seems to undermine what Rav had said, because the Amarav, Baravuna Amarav, if you have a chalitza psula, which is what happened over here, that the yavamas both got to get, then you need all of the brothers to go and do a separate chalitza, which sounded really good when we started discussing the Rabbanan over here with Abaya's explanation. And now everything falls to pieces. Because if you hold Yesika, then what are you going to say? Amalecha Rabba Baravuna, listen here, you guys made a false equation. Obviously, Rav is correct if you hold Yesika. But it is not true what you said, that the Rabbanan will argue with Rabbi Gamliel hold Yezika. Both Rabbi Gamliel and the Rabbanan hold Ein Zika. This is a separate issue. The issue revolves only about Yesh Get Acher Get, Umamer Acher Mimer, which is the way that we explained it initially, without needing to come on to the Ramban's explanation of how it might be dependent in Zika. So go back to the way you understood it originally and stop being so smart in order to be able to ask a tiyufta on the Rav that I was quoting. There's no tiyufta because your assumptions were wrong and Rav was speaking according to the shita in which Yesh Zika. So of course, if Yesh Zika, then how are you going to dissolve a Zika with a crummy chalitza? And it's very consistent with Rabbanan, who say that the relationship exists between every Yavam and Yavam individually. So then let every single Yavam go ahead and dissolve the Zika between him and the other one has to do the Zika between him and her. And fine. Doesn't that make sense? But the Rabbanan over here don't hold the Zika. So all we're talking about is the specific relationship, not a Zika issue. So why would somebody else have to dissolve a Zika that doesn't exist in order for me to get out of that? Doesn't make any sense. So therefore, what I said was completely true, and I stick with it. Now, the one inconsistent issue in all of this is very striking. And that is, if the idea is that a second ma'amar is meaningless, then remember one of the cases in our spreadsheet makes absolutely no sense. If one guy gives ma'amar, and then the other guy gives ma'amar, what was the din? Or he does two ma'amars himself. What was the din? Asa ma'amar bezu, u'ma'amar bezu. Rebbe Gamliel says, you give a get to the first one, and you give chalitza to the first one in order to keep the second one's relatives unaffected. Isn't that what he said? Well, I got a problem. Why in the world would you give chalitza? If a guy does mimer, you tell him to do chalitza? You tell him to go right ahead, dear boy. Do yibum. You're doing everything right. Just keep chugging away. Instead, we tell him, well, the mimer that was done to the other one messes up your chances to do yibum. What are you talking about? There is no other mimer, because according to Rebbe Gamliel, ain mimer achar mimer. So if ain mimer achar mimer, why aren't we telling the first guy to finish up and conclude his yibum? What did he do wrong? He gave another mimer? That isn't mimer. That was just giving a piece of cake to a lady who was hungry. And what's the point? So therefore, it says over here that he would be mutter kebrikrovot shniyah. Now, I don't understand, mifti. Didn't Rebbe Gamliel just say, ein ma'amar achar ma'amar? Yes. So then why is the first guy, or the first woman that he gives ma'amar to, which is the only ma'amar, according to Rebbe Gamliel, why can't he finish it up with a yibum? Rishona nami titya beim. That's the best thing. What are you telling me, for heaven's sakes? That what? Bayit echad u'boneh, ve'eno boneh shnei batim. Well, excuse me, where's the shnei batim? He gave mimer to the other yavama. I don't see any mimer. Where's the shnei batim? He's a wonderful man. He's doing everything right. Answers the Gemara, you're 100% correct. However, there's a gzeira here that if we go ahead and we allow you to finish up the Yibum after you did Ma'amar, then because of the fact that you don't understand how this is working, and you obviously already attempted to give Ma'amar to the other Yavama, thinking that, oh, you know what? I like the other Yavama better. So if we tell you, okay, young man, go ahead and finish up your Yibum. Young man thinks to himself, okay, young man, go take the woman you wanted, the second one, because you already did Ma'amar to her. That's all he hears. So if we would let him go ahead and be Miyabim the first one, obviously we know what he's going to do. He's going to be Miyabim the second one. The same reason that he gave Ma'amar to the second one. So therefore, it just follows logically that in that case, we're going to have another Gezerah that doesn't really relate to the original algorithms. But the point is, since we can see where this is heading, HaChacham Einav Berosho, don't tell him to finish up with Yibum. That's all. Fine. This concludes the entire issue. Now the question is, what is the universal different levels of Yesh Zika, Ein Zika? Now we can finally start with the relationship to Ma'amar is obviously very complex. We've had so many different approaches that we'll talk about tomorrow. Is there some type of universal approach? What is the connection between the various different theories of Ma'amar that we've had? Rabbi Yochanan is going to go through all of them and find the point in which there's some dissension between them, differentiation between them. We'll become a little bit more discriminatory. But meanwhile, life seems smooth. Omar Rabbi Yochanan. So we've explored the Bachlokasin about the relationship of Ma'amar and Get, but we haven't gotten to the bottom of the variations in what it is and how it is that Ma'amar works and achieves. And as Rabbi Yochanan points out, there's a certain pattern. And that pattern is that there are levels, various levels, that are only very vaguely associated with each other. But we've seen Gemaras like this before, where we trace different shitas that bear a certain similarity, and we try to establish a set of those who hold that Ma'amar has an effectiveness that goes beyond what you would have thought as just something that the Rabbanan do to smooth the way to Yibum. We're going to see how that works later today. But initially, the question is, how much does Ma'amar achieve? And the truth is that we have seen a very, very broad spectrum of shitas in this issue, because, I mean, we've spoken on Libra Beit Shammai that Ma'amar could be kind of Kinyan Gomer. That means literally. I mean, and on the other hand, yesterday we had another concept of Ma'amar kind of Kinyan Gomer, but totally unrelated. But the idea, nonetheless, gives a greater impact to Ma'amar, and that is Rebbe Gamliel. So Rebbe Gamliel says Ma'amar does whatever it can do, okay? Meaning that it's the maximum that it can do, and you can't do another Ma'amar after a Ma'amar. So in that sense, it bears a vague similarity to Beit Shammai's Ma'amar Kana Kinyan Gomer, as opposed to Chachamim, who would say that Ma'amar is just an additional issue. It's not that it actually creates real kinyanim, but because of the gezeiras that we have to treat it with a certain chumrah. Well, that's not the same as Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel says it actually will achieve, obviously within its own context. And there are shades of other meanings, as we're about to see. Rabbi Yochanan often does this. Let's make a set of all of those who view Ma'amar in a particularly strong way, even though there's not any real connection between the different shitas. So, for instance, says Rabbi Yochanan, we had Rabbi Gamliel, and that was what our discussion yesterday. And we have Beit Shammai, we have Rabbi Shimon, we have Ben Azai, and we have Rabbi Nechemia, the Mishnah from 2 days ago. Basically, all of them share a vague pattern of Ma'amar bin Kone Kinyan Gamur, not literally Gamur, but Gamur possibly within its own context, Gamur, or Alib de Beit Shammai, literally Gamur. Let me go over it with you, said Rabbi Yochanan. When I say Rabbi Gamliel, okay, that is what we just got finished dealing with, namely that according to Rabbi Gamliel, whatever can be achieved by Ma'amar within the context of the Kenyan Midrabanan is achieved by one Ma'amar, and therefore it won't leave room for another Ma'amar. That's what we mean when we talk about Rabbi Gamliel saying it's a Kenyan Gomer. Beit Shammai. Beit Shammai means literally it's a Kenyan Gomer, because remember that according to Beit Shammai, in the case that we had before, where there were three brothers, that two of whom were married to two sisters, and one of whom doesn't have a wife at all, and one of the sisters was, their husband died. We always call that one Reuven, the first one to die. So Reuven dies, and then the Levi, who was the one who was not married at all, he goes ahead and he does Ma'amar on Reuven's wife. And then what happens is that the second brother, who was married to the other sister, he dies after the Ma'amar. What happens then? According to Beit Shammai, what happens is that Levi retains the woman that he made Ma'amar, and the second sister is Bichlal, not a problem, because it was as if he was Miyabem, the first sister, and now an Erva fell to him. An Erva? I mean, he was only related to her because of the Ma'amar that he did. You see that according to Beit Shammai, the Ma'amar actually makes her his wife, to the point where there's not even a mitzvah of Chalitza or Yibum. That means that Ma'amar is basically a complete Kenyan Midiraisa. Okay, now that is a little bit misleading, because you might still need Chalitza if you don't want to keep the Balat HaMa'amar. That, of course, is a different issue. But in terms of creating a relationship, remember that there were two different issues. Ma'amar creating a relationship of Kedushin, which may still require the get to remove it. However, that only creates Legabe making the new sister that falls to him an Achot Ishto. That's true. But it doesn't mean that Ma'amar achieves what Yibum achieves, obviously. If the Torah said you have to take this woman and sleep with her, you can't get away with just giving her a ring and then giving her a get, even according to Beit Shammai. But it's a Kenyan Gomer in the sense that it is a full relationship to a wife, even though it doesn't address all the Yavama issues, and therefore a sister who falls is going to be Eshet, the Achot of real Ishtecha. That's the point. Okay, so that's the second example that I have, says Rabbi Yochanan. I understand that they're not the same at all. And Rabbi Gamliel was only talking about a mimer. There are bonin within the context of mimers. Can it make another mimer impossible? And this is talking about a real din of mama in terms of kedushin, d'oraisa, and so on. Fine, I understand that. But they both take mamar out of just the idea, like the get was, which is that it's really only because of its similarity. So they take it as something that is a complete Kenyan on one level or another. Now, here's another example, says Rabbi Yochanan, of a member of the set, and that is Rabbi Shimon. Because in the case that we had of Rabbi Shimon, was talking over there that a Yavama falls to brothers, and each of the brothers that the Yavama fell to was not yet bar mitzvah, but both of them were over 9 years old. Now, therefore, since they're over 9 years old, so their act of intercourse is exactly the same as anyone else's. And at that point, it was a real act of Yibum. Both of them went ahead and slept with this Yavama. And now the question is, now this is a big question over here, because Rashi over here says that a bia of a katan, b'diraisa, is meaningless for the Yavama, and that it's only a derabbanan, which is very problematic for other Gemaras, as Tosfos points out. And the mashmaut is that the bia of the katan is actually the opposite, that b'diraisa, because the Torah gave the katan this Yavama, he doesn't need to have a kinyan. In the normal sense, he only needs to be able to achieve a bia with her, which he does. And therefore, on the contrary, according to Tosis, the idea over here is, b'diraisa was a complete Yibum. And it's the Rabbanan who treated it as incomplete. And according to Rashi here, although that Rashi elsewhere doesn't agree to that, but according to Rashi here, Midiraisa, it's not a Yibum. And in the Rabbanan were machmir to make it sort of like a Yibum. So Rabbi Shimon said to the Chachamim, look, if you're going to call the first child's Bia a real Bia, Legabi Akinyan, so then you have to ignore the second child's Bia. And if you're going to make the first child's Bia meaningless, so then the same thing would have to be true about the second child's Bia. Now, that's all very nice, but what does that have to do with Mamar? I'll tell you what it has to do with Mamar. Because the din is that the Bia of a child more than 9 years old is basically a din of Ma'amar. The Rabbanan said, let's give that a din of Ma'amar. Again, Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos, whether that's being Machmir or that's being Mekel. In other words, Ibn Rice said it doesn't do anything, but the Rabbanan said it's the equivalent to Ma'amar, or the opposite. But the point is that Lahalacha, it was given a din of Ma'amar. And yet, Rabbi Shimon says that if the so-called Ma'amar, which is actually an act of Bia, but the so-called Ma'amar, if that worked, then the second one didn't work. So you see, according to Rabbi Shimon, essentially, Ma'amar makes any Ma'amar afterwards meaningless. So that means that that's the same sense that Rabbi Gamliel said that Ma'amar is kind of Kenyan Gomer within the context of Ma'amar. Rabbi Shimon apparently holds the same thing. Now it says Rabbi Yochanan. That means three. Let me give you another example of this. Ben Azai. Ben Azai also holds, in a sense, that Ma'amar is a complete Kenyan. The Tanya Ben Azai Omer, Yesh Ma'amar Achar Ma'amar B'shnei Yevamim V'Yevama Achat. You can have an example of a Ma'amar after another Ma'amar, since the Rabbanan give the Yavam. And we say, each Yavam has his own Kayach to do Ma'amar. So if you have two Yevamim, so each one can do a Ma'amar. But you can't do a Ma'amar if there are two Yevamot and Yavam Echad, because the Yavam is given a right to do a Ma'amar. It doesn't make sense to give him the Kayach to do two Ma'amar. Now, that would mean that Ben Azai is somewhere between Rabbi Gamliel Shita and the Rabbanan Shita. Remember, the Rabbanan argued with Rabbi Gamliel, and they say the relationship of Ma'amar is unique between each Yavam and each Yevamah. Now, Ben Azai doesn't say that, but he does say that the Koach of Ma'amar is unique to each Yavam. So if that's the case, having utilized the Ma'amar for one of these women who fell to him for Yibum, you can't use it again, according to Ben Azai. So therefore, Ben Azai, as opposed to the Chachamim, hold that Ma'amar is Kena, in a sense, a Kenyan Gomer, within the context of the power of Ma'amar to itself. So one Ma'amar, and not a second Ma'amar, if it's the same Yavam. But just, I want you to know, by the way, there is an opposite Girsa over here, and Rashi rejects the opposite Girsa, but actually Tosfos likes the opposite gears and explains the problems that Rashi has. And he says, Yesh ma'amar ha-marmar b'shtei yevamot v'yavam echad, meaning that what Ben Azai says is exactly the opposite, that there is a kayach of ma'amar to create kedushin with a particular woman. That's the idea. So in that case, yesh ma'amar for baby to yevamot, which can do it with the same woman. How can you give a kedushin to the same woman? That's the point. Okay, but in either event, there is an aspect of Ma'amar Libra Ben Azai which is similar to Rabbi Gamaliel's Ma'amar, and that is, it does all that it can do once. Okay, and then we have Rabbi Nechemia. So I say, says Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Nechemia also, based on our Mishnah, Rabbi Nechemia seems to be saying that Ma'amar is a complete Kenyan, because look what it says in Mishnah. Rabbi Nechemia says, I don't care whether you're talking about Be'ila or you're talking about Chalitza. So whether that's a Betchila, Be'emtza, Be'sof, I don't buy into this concept of a Be'ila Psula that you guys believe in. And I say that at any point that Bio is performed, Einacharea Klum, there's nothing that can come after that, even if you had first given a Get or Mimer or the other Yavama had given a get or Maimer, or to a different Yavama, you or the other Yavama. Whatever the case is, you guys created an idea of a Bia Psula. I don't believe in that idea. Now, you'll say, what does that have to do with Maimer? I'll tell you what has to do with Maimer. Very similar to what I suggested in the story of Rabbi Shimon. Because when Rabbi Nechemia is talking about this Bia Psula, right? Remember, Bia Psula is defined as a Bia that takes place after a get or a Maimer had already been issued. Again, either by him, by another Yavam, to this Yavama, to a different Yavama, but the point is, it's no longer a really pure Bia. So the din is that a Bia Psula, according to the Rabbana, so they said that you need Chalitza after the Bia. Okay, that's what Rashi learns, which is very strange because up until, let me just point out to you, please don't get confused. There were two completely different issues when we were talking about Ein Acharei Klum and the power of the Ma'amar. One is that the Ma'amar is so powerful that anything that you would do after the Ma'amar would no longer have an impact on the din. That was the way we were learning until now, that means Ein Acharei Klum. Ein Acharei Klum did not have anything to do with whether you would need Chalitza even after doing Ma'amar. So the truth is that Bia Psula had a couple of different issues. I mean, so first of all, the Bia Psula would allow you to do Ma'amar after Bia Psula and create problems, right? Because it would answer you on all of the relatives. So therefore, it's not as good as a regular Bia, which if you tried to do Ma'amar after having done a real Yibum, the Ma'amar would be a joke and it wouldn't have any impact at all. And you would not be usher on this woman's relatives. Or if you gave a get to another Yavama, you wouldn't be usher on her relatives. That's what was normally meant up until this point by Ein Achara Klum. And therefore, what was meant by saying Yesh Acharei on a Bia Psula? That if you went ahead and gave Ma'amar to another Yavama, that the relatives would be Asur on you, right? Rashi, for some reason, switches gears here. And Rashi says that the reason that we said that the Rabbanan were Gozer, that it's considered to be the Bia Psula, and that therefore the question would be Nogea, you still need Chalitza. But that wasn't the way we understood the issue until now. Okay, but this is what Rashi is saying, that the reason that Bia Psula is similar to Ma'amar is because just like in a case of Ma'amar, you require Chalitza, so too in a Bia Psula you require Chalitza, which means that a Bia Psula is kind of like a Maimer. And nonetheless, what is Rabbi Nechemya saying? Ein Acharei Klum. So if Ein Acharei Klum, so then what that means is that according to Rabbi Nechemya, Ma'amar is a Kenyan Gomer, and I can't do anything else that would be similar to Ma'amar afterwards. So therefore, we have four shitas that talk about Ma'amar being a Maimer, a Kenyan Gomer within the context of Ma'amar, and we have one shita, namely Beit Shammai, that talks about Ma'amar being a Kenyan Gomer on an objective in any context, because it would be a Kenyan Gomer in terms of even a deraisa of making another Yavama an Eshet, an Achot Ishto, you see. But still, nobody at all would hold it's a Kenyan Gomer to take the place of Yibum. Let's get that very clear. That's not what we're talking about. Okay, so we've got different ways of looking at Mama. Now,